You're listening to Potato Candy Network. Hello, and welcome back to Blank Scenario. I am your host, Marie, and this week we have another segment of Blank Monster. In Blank Monster, I go through two or three monsters from the Monster Manual and give you a couple ideas on how you can use them in games at home. We are coming up on the end of our journey through the 5th edition Monster Manual, and this week we are on to letters X and Y. We have a couple monsters in these sections, but I want to focus on two this week. Well, 2.5, I guess, because one of them has several subtypes. But the first one we're going to focus on is the only monster under the letter X in the 5th edition Monster Manual, and that is the Zorn. Part of why I wanted to do this series in the first place was because of this character. It is a very interesting character. It's not inherently evil, but it's a unique monster that could be really fun to play as a GM for an NPC, or could even just be a nuisance that the players have to deal with. So, jumping into it, the Zorn is a very bizarre creature that's originally from the plane of Earth. It is a medium creature, so not too big in 5th edition, with three arms, all spaced out on the top of its body, three legs, also spaced out, a mouth on top of its head, and eyes on all sides of its body. Not multiple, just one on each side, basically. Divided into three. So, not easy to sneak up on. You might be wondering, wow, this is a really terrifying creature. It is, until you realize it only eats metal and gemstones. So it's not eating organic materials, aka humanoids. So it won't actually eat people and pretty much ignores them. What this does mean, though, is if it's not on a plane of Earth, where, you know, metal and gemstones are really easy to find, it can become very aggressive because it's trying to keep itself sustained. It's not an aggressive creature by nature, but it can become that way. So it gives you a lot of wiggle room with this, because if you look at its stats, it has a 10 charisma, 10 intelligence, and 10 wisdom, which is base stats for most NPCs that are humanoid. So this thing is intelligent and can communicate. While on the plane of Earth, they actually move through stone. They have the ability Earth Glide, so they basically treat the rock and everything around them like water and just basically swim through. And like I said, they become aggressive when they can't find enough to eat, so they tend to prefer to stay on their home plane. And if they do end up anywhere else, they want to try to get back. So they don't eat people, but they are attracted to things like gold. And for adventurers who might have a lot of gold and metal and gemstones and jewelry and things like that they're carrying, they'll be very attracted to that and likely find them. When they do, this is the best part. They will plead or bargain to gain that treasure to eat. So they are not going to just take it by force initially. They will try to come to an agreement. They might give information, maybe help the adventurers find a way out if they're looking for that. Anything that they think they can use to get the gold on these adventures. In 5th edition, they only speak Terran, which is the language of the Earth Elemental plane. In 3.5, they do speak Common, so you can very easily sneak that in there if you need to make it work for your players. If the players decide not to give it their gold and items, it will use threats, it will annoy them, and if it's that desperate, as I said, on the material plane, it's harder to find those gemstones, it might even attack and use force to take those items. So you get a whole range of emotions with these guys because they are a neutral creature. They're not necessarily good or evil, they're just trying to survive. But they have enough intelligence to do it in a way that's more than just attack and run away. In past editions, we pretty much get the same kind of image of them. In 3.5, like I said, they do speak Common, and it does describe some of their ambush tactics that they use. So they'll basically wait underneath a dirt floor until someone walks on top and then snap them up and then just spit out their bones later because they can't eat that. So if you wanted to play them as ambush tactic, you could. You also have sizing. You have minor, average, and elder size. Now, minor is going to be a small creature. Average is medium, elder size is going to be large. So you could kind of vary your sizing on that. It doesn't say in my copy of the 3.5 Monster Manual exactly if that is an age determination or just a type. You could easily have it that minor Zorns are younger ones, Elder Zorns are literally the older beings in the race. But you get a little bit of wiggle room as far as how big you want to make them. So you could easily have one that is massive with a bunch of little ones that are following it. Jumping into our scenario ideas for these, because I do love this monster. This is a monster I know I'm going to use in a game at some point if I can get my players into the Underdark, which is where we're starting off. If your party is traveling the Underdark, they will come across a Zorn that has been trapped here from the elemental plane of Earth. And you can decide exactly why. Maybe it's just weird tunnels that all connect to the plane of Earth to the Underdark. Whatever you want to come up with, doesn't really matter. But he will offer your players information on where to go in exchange for their gems. Now, you want to make sure your players have things that they are willing to give up. Unless you're trying to get them to start ditching magical items and trying to nerf them a little bit before a fight, make sure they have something they want to give up. Otherwise, there's no reason for them to want to talk to this thing, and it's just going to end up being a fight. The Zorn will have useful information and will actually help them. It's not going to turn on them as soon as it can, so your players don't have to worry about that. But it's a nice little interaction, especially if your players are lost and don't really know where they're going. The second scenario involves miners. You could be underground still, you could be back on surface, either one's fine. And the metal that they are mining has had large amounts go missing, and there's no sign of it. There's no tracks leading anywhere, nothing. And what's happened is a Zorn is stuck on this plane and is basically trying to survive. It's not found anything else necessary to eat until it found this vein, and all of a sudden the miners start taking that and pulling it out of the ground. So it's basically just surviving. Your party might decide to say, hey, maybe we can figure out how to send it back. Your party might decide to attack it, or because this is a desperate Zorn, it may just become a fight. Your party might even be able to negotiate a deal. Maybe it will only stay in this area and the miners can go somewhere else, right? Whatever you want to figure out. I will say, if you make a deal, make sure the deal is not you can't eat something, because I feel like your players will come back to a fight later on if you do that, but if they want to try that, they're welcome to. And the last one, your party is going through caves, tunnels, whatever it needs to be, basically somewhere underground where they are basically staying there. And especially this works if you are trapped in the elemental plane of Earth. And one party member has been hearing a voice. One. And it's been telling them, hey, if you give me all your group's gold, I will help you get out of here. Now, this Zorn has decided to be smart. It knows if it pops up and starts talking to people, they like to attack. So again, there is an intelligence involved. So what it's doing is it's trying to basically communicate without being seen, which is going to freak out your player and make them think they're insane, or make your party think they're insane, and you're getting a lot of inner fighting of what is actually going on and is there a way out, or is someone messing with us? You could decide if that Zorn is going to actually reveal themselves. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. They just go off somewhere else. Maybe they decide to sneak in the middle of the night and steal it anyway. But that's a really fun one if you want to make it more of an inter-party conflict of them trying to figure out if they're being basically messed with, or especially if the rogue is trying to get all the gold. So that's going to be three snares for the Zorn. Again, very fun creature. In my head, I have this very deep, whiny voice of just this creature randomly popping at like halfway out of the wall saying, please give me gold. No. 5 minutes later, please give me your gold. No. 5 minutes later, please give me gold. No. Right? So you can really annoy your players with this character and without it instantly coming a fight. Moving on to our next creature, we have the Yugoloths. Now, there are technically multiple types, which is why I say 2.5 monsters this episode, but we're not going to dig too much into all of them. So Yugoloths are fiends that exist on the Nine Hells. They are very fickle and serve primarily themselves. They were actually rumored originally to be created by Coven of Hags for the Lord of Nine Hells in order to try to fight the devils. In D&D lore, you have the Blood War, which is the devils and demons fighting. One is lawful evil, one is chaotic evil. So the Yugoloths were created to try to help in that war. The Hags, though, kept a book called the Books of Keeping, 4 books total, that had all the names of Yugoloths they created to keep them loyal, because if you know the Yugoloth's name, you can control it. And then the books are lost. So the Yugoloths are kind of now free agents if you can figure out their name. Again, you can control them. If you can summon them, you can control them. but they really don't like being controlled. And they will break any deal as long as they have a way out or they think a better one's coming. Yugoloths will demand a lot for their time. They will listen to reason, so they're not completely chaotic, and they can be swayed, but they will also turn on you as soon as they can. Among themselves, there is also a lot of fighting, so they're not really a united front. There is kind of a way it can be united in past editions. You kind of have a little bit more of a structured military look to them, but it's really just a bunch of people fighting each other anyway. On any plane other than the plains of Gehenna, which is in the Nine Hells, if Yugoloth dies, it reforms, obviously, into Nine Hells. Like a lot of demons, that's kind of what happens to them. They leave behind nothing but a pool of ichor. So they really have no reason to try to survive anywhere else. But if they're on their home plane, they will be killed permanently. So they really will try to fight you there. There are two types I want to talk about specifically, mostly because I think they're very interesting. The first Yugoloth we have is the Arcanoloth. Now, the Arcanoloth, you've probably seen images of most likely. I think this is the most common one. I actually had a mini of it at one point. It's very cool looking. It is a jackal humanoid, usually depicted carrying a bunch of scrolls and books and very nice clothing. And these fiends are obsessed with knowledge and information. They make really good negotiators, and they will help broker treaties if they are well paid. If they're not, or if someone pays them better, they might turn those talks into a start of a war. So you got to be careful with them. Mostly what they want is information or items that they can then trade for better information items. So you don't have to necessarily pay them, but you need to have something you know they're going to want to talk to them. The second type is the Ultraloth, and this is going to be your top tier guys. There's kind of a pecking order to this. Again, they will kind of fight among themselves, but Ultraloths are basically the top. So these guys are actually commanders of armies in a blood war. Again, the war between devils and demons. When they're not fighting that war, though, they are amassing Yugoloths to fight among themselves. So they will basically send the lower demons, or sorry, the lower fiends into combat while they hang out in the back strategizing. But these guys are so powerful, the other Yugoloths will not barter as for payment when being commanded by them, which tells you how powerful they are. One of these Yugoloths is actually the general of Gehenna. And if you ever do a campaign in the Nine Hells, this character is probably going to show up at some point because he is most likely a really good big bad for your party to come across by accident. He is the only Yugoloth whose name isn't in the books of keeping, so no one knows his true name, no one can control him, and often other fiends will look for him to follow him to try to gain power just by serving him. The only thing known about him is he's an Ultraloth, and you don't find him, he finds you. And 3.5, he actually rules all the Yugoloth armies from a city called the Crawling City, which wanders the plains of Gehenna on grafted legs, which is a terrifying picture. But again, if you're doing a campaign in Nine Hells, this is a great big bad to throw into it. We also have in 3.5 that all Yugoloths, no matter what form they take, are followed by a smell of brimstone. So if you need to key your players into, hey, this person's not who they say they are, probably a good way to do it. So jumping into some scenario ideas for these. The first one, we are using the Arcanoloth, the jackal guy. So your party is helping to kind of guard and work with the peace treaty that's going on. Maybe they're directly involved, maybe they're just security, whatever you want works. But the other side seems to have all the information to make the negotiations go the way they want. And you've been asked to figure out what's going on here. Kind of do a little bit of espionage, but don't get caught. Turns out the other side has enlisted an Arcanoloth to help get the best deal. This guy has a lot of information on the other side, knows a lot of history, can find out a lot because they are shapeshifters. So your party has either the option of trying to fight this thing, which is going to look bad because there's a peace treaty being made here, or they can try to get changed sides, which is going to be a little tricky, but is doable. The second scenario has them on the Nine Hells, and they're searching for a specific demon lord. And I'm going to apologize. I'm pretty sure I've mixed up demon and devils a ton. I don't remember which one's which. We're just going to go with whatever I said. Just assume Nine Hells. But while they're looking for this demon lord, they have a Yugoloth that they're using to guide them. Fair enough, right? Except this guy has led them into the path of an Ultraloth commander to try to get them killed so he can run away because he doesn't want to serve them anymore. Maybe your party knows this guy's true name. Maybe they summoned him, so magic is binding them to your party. Whatever it is, he doesn't want to be there. He's going to get you killed. Yugoloths are very powerful, and they are a challenge rating of 13 and have way too much magic. So you need a high-level party, which is why you're 9 hells most likely, but this will be a hard fight. And Ultraloths are intelligent enough to know when to run away, so just because you survived doesn't mean you won. The last scenario idea is your party is trying to summon a Yugoloth to help in an upcoming battle. They are all in there and they're all very powerful. Even the bug guys, which are kind of the main bulk that you're going to find, have a challenge rating of 5, which is not bad. That's a decent character to have going to combat with you if you need them. But this guy has a deal. It will only help if it can kill one of your party members after the combat's done. Now, your party may decide, no, we're not doing that, go away, and dismiss it. Fair. But if your party decides to say, yeah, we'll go with that, they have to keep in mind this thing will turn on them at any point if it wants to, which means it's expecting them to turn on it. So you're going to have probably a secondary fight afterwards with this thing, where even if it hasn't tried to kill you in the combat previously, it is now, and your party's not going to want to go down without a fight, unless someone's willing to sacrifice himself, which maybe in a story it makes sense that someone has some reason that they'd be okay with sacrifice. Or maybe they can't die. Always an option. So your party has to decide how much do we want to rely on this deal being held up until we can find another option. So that is 3 scenario ideas for the Yugoloths. And there are some other fun types as well, both in 5th edition and past editions as well. So if you need ideas for what they look like, there are so many images out there you can find. It's nuts. Every edition I looked at had a different name for them. So you're not going to run out of ideas. So again, that is the Zorn and the Yugoloths. We have one more episode next week, conveniently going to be Halloween, which is always fun. And then after that, we'll be doing probably an update and everything to the channel. So keep an ear out for that. Let me know if I've missed any. At this point, there's only one monster to cover. If you have a monster made out, you know exactly which one it is. Plus, probably some sneaky ones thrown in there. So if I have missed anything, let me know. I can try to do a special episode kind of recapping anything. If you've used any of the ideas, or if you have ideas of your own for any monsters I've covered up to this point, I've done several episodes, so there's a lot of options. Let me know as well. I'd love to see how these worked in games, or if there's any lore I might have missed that would be really fun to throw into it. So for now, I will leave that there and see you next time.
Hello, Bob Spuds here on the scene once again, reporting for Potato Candy Network. Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard, please consider subscribing on your podcasting app of choice. If you have a scenario prompt you want us to use, send it to us on social networking with Instagram and Facebook at Potato Candy Network. And if you really liked us, consider supporting us on Patreon for bonus content monthly, such as behind-the-scenes sneak peeks, inspirations, and future episode previews. Check out our brother show, Dreadful Tales, for some top-pinching, full, truly terrifying tales of terror. Got that on the first try, you know. And finally, please leave us a review, as it helps your recommendations and helps others find the hard work we do here at Potato Candy Network. Oh, and friendly reminder, if someone asks you if you're a god, don't think of marshmallows. Nobody likes that guy.